one thing that we desire, that as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives. One thing we ask of you, one thing that we desire, that as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives. to praise your name. Oh Lord, I wanna sing your praises. I wanna praise your name. Oh Lord, I wanna sing your praises. I wanna praise your name. We sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Lord, I want to sing your praises. I want to praise your name. Oh, I want to sing your praises. Praise your name. Your praises. Say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. God deserves all the glory today. And we give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. And so we say you are great. There is no one like you. None can be compared to you. In all of the heavens and all of the earth, underneath the earth, there is no king as you. And so we declare you are great. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve a glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve a glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve a glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
His mercies never steadfast love.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness.
They are new every morning.
Hallelujah.
for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Unto him and him and him alone we bless you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Please have your seat, because God is doing amazing work in this place. He has not just started, he has started before you came here, but he's doing some amazing work in this place. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We have heard from Exodus chapter 3, where Moses said, I will now turn aside. I don't know how long God tried to get the attention of Moses. Maybe 10 times, I don't know. But Moses was feeling miserable. How can you as a man be working for your father-in-law? Humiliation over humiliation. And God is saying to him, it's not over. Amen. The devil meant for it to be over before he was born. But God said, it's not over. Amen. The devil meant for it to be over when he killed a man. But God said, it's not over. And Moses was saying, well, I don't know any other thing. Well, eventually, when God spoke to Moses, God said to Moses, Moses said to God, I don't want to do it anymore. It's over. But God says, it's not over. Amen. The devil knew the destiny of that man. If Moses could be brought into the place of destiny, if Moses could be brought into that place, the world would not remain the same again. So when he was young, he tried to kill him. He made a special law when he was looking for Moses. Find every boy and kill them. He wasn't looking for every boy. He was looking for one. In order to kill one, he was ready to kill several. Because Moses had a purpose. And it messed up Moses so much. Messed him up. If he couldn't kill him physically, but he killed him inside. And the Lord will come to Moses. I don't believe that was the first time. And Moses will say, I am not interested. The Lord will come again. And Moses will say, I am not interested. There's nothing else that can happen. One day, Moses said, okay, I will now turn aside. I will turn. I will give attention to this thing. You know, it reminds me of myself. When I got saved, I had this big struggle with God. I got saved through the invitation of Pastor Folake to church. Easter Sunday. But after I got saved, I thought that was it. I did not know any other thing. But God wanted to take me beyond just being saved. And I went to a meeting where something happened. But before we got home, the devil messed up my mind again. I said, well, those things, I'm not getting involved in that one. I'll just set you for going to church. How many of you have set you for going to church? You're coming out of that in Jesus' name. I used to have migraine. In my last year in university, I almost did not do my final exam because of migraine. So this Sunday, I got home. And I was lying in bed. As I was lying in bed, there was nobody at home. The migraine hit my head. When you have migraine, your head feels like a trailer. You don't want to move your eye stalk of your head. You don't want to turn your head to the right. You don't want to turn it to the left because it pains. And I was saying to myself, I need to get paracetamol very quickly. But the Lord will whisper to me. I did not know it was the voice of the Lord. I just had this voice inside me say, pray in tongues. I said, what is that thing they call tongues? I am not praying in tongues. I need paracetamol. He said again, pray in tongues. And I would say in reply to that, I need paracetamol. And that debate and struggle continued for about 30 minutes. Eventually, after about 30 minutes, I said, out of really frustration and pain and all of this, I said, if it will make this voice go away, I will pray in tongues. I opened my mouth to pray in tongues. I only spoke one word. The migraine went. That was the last time I ever had migraine. It did not go. It went the day that I turned. I turned, isn't it? And tongued. I turned. Because the Lord knows what He's doing in your life. And He will say, I know the answer. Turn this way. I turned. Moses turned. The moment Moses turned, Moses began to experience something that would lift him out of this situation. The voice of God began to come. He began to receive instructions and directions. But first, he had to turn. See, God wouldn't force you to turn. There are some things that God wants to do in your life. Unless you now enter and cooperate with Him, it cannot happen. It won't happen. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist was preaching and Jesus walked past. And John the Baptist said to John, who later became the disciple of Jesus, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The small John and Andrew, the brother of Peter, ignored John the Baptist. They didn't turn to Jesus. They just ignored Jesus. The second day, John the Baptist was there preaching again. The second day, John the Baptist said the same thing to them. Look, the Lamb of God. Where there were many of them, including John and Andrew. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Where the second day, John and Andrew turned to Jesus. When they turned to Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want? They said, £1 million. If the Lord says to you, what do you want? What would you say? Sorry? You should wait for the lease. Says, Lord, just give me one moment and a pen. I've got to write a lease. What do you mean? What do I want? Today is my day. The Lord said to John, what do you want? Have you noticed that when anybody breaks through to the Lord, He asks them the same question. What do you want? Actually, the proper interpretation of that word from Greek is, what do you really want? What do you really want? You know, some people dance around the Lord. What do you really want? Blind Bartimaeus was screaming at the top of his voice, Jesus, have mercy on me. The Bible says Jesus ignored him. He cried them on. Eventually, Jesus said, bring him over here. Ask him to come. Jesus did not go to him. Ask him to come. He's blind. I'm not going to him. If you want something from me, come over here. I have said to people in church a few times, many of us actually think Jesus was easy. I once spoke to a lady, I said, if you marry Jesus, you'll be in trouble. Do you know the people that that received things from Jesus, they did not just get it by dancing around. Lots of people will be around Jesus and they will do nothing. All of a sudden, one of them will burst out of the crowd, press into a particular place, and then he will receive something. And Jesus will say, your faith has made you whole. Other people are here, but they are not desperate enough. Blind Bartimaeus did not say, Jesus, can't you see I'm blind? And some people will have said, can't you see I'm blind? Can't you see I can't make my way to you? Blind Bartimaeus, the Bible says, he threw his clothes away. If the clothes will get in my way, I'll throw it away. He began to find his way. How do you think he found his way to Jesus? Did he walk straight? I think he ran into some people. He must have run into some people and they say, oh, what's wrong with you? He's a blind man. He probably was stinking. Some people will have said, oh, come on. We'll go over there. The man did not allow the voices of the people to stop him. He said, I am desperate for Jesus. I don't know about you. He found his way to Jesus and Jesus asked him, what do you want? Jesus, the man has struggled to find his way to you. He has pushed through everybody. He has been abused on the way. He's been abandoned for years. He gets to you. Instead of you just doing what you need to do, you say, what do you want from me? There was a man that was blind. Jesus looked at him and had mercy on him, put something on his eyes and said, now you can go and wash in the river. I'm not going with you. You go yourself. You want to be healed? Go and wash in the river yourself. God deals with people that are desperate. Desperation always provokes heaven. That's why I say, blessed are those who are thirsty and hungry. Have you seen an hungry man eat before? Have you seen an hungry man eat before? He hasn't eaten for 3 days. I saw a few when I went to Nigeria. The guy came to visit. We were kind of eating because we had had breakfast. He said, Uncle, you won't mind, would you? I said, no, go on. And he said, Uncle, would you mind? Would you wouldn't mind, would you? Well, I had to leave the food for the man. Because the man was desperate. The worst thing that can happen to a man is to be full. Or to be full of himself. Which is what we were taught this morning. And one of the things that God will do under the covenant of divine leading, if you want to be led, you have to first die to yourself. In the book of Matthew, when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, actually, I love the Message translation. He said, there cannot be two drivers. I like that, isn't it? That makes it quite clear. He said, you can't be driving and I'm driving. If I'm driving, you can't drive. God will not force you to do something, but he will ask you to yield to him. So we had earlier on James 4:7. Submit therefore to God. I have not seen something submitted to God that doesn't become supernatural. When a stick was submitted to God, it became supernatural. When a wood was submitted to God, it became supernatural. Anything given over to God stops to be natural. It becomes supernatural. And you know what happens when something becomes supernatural? That's why it says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. It's not that they'll be chasing you or you'll be chasing them away. Actually, when you walk into town, they run. Wouldn't you like a situation where you walk into town and the devils are saying, he's coming. We better get out. You are not the one that is being chased anymore. You are the one that has become the terror. That's why I call God. I call him the terror of the terrorist. Some people think they are terrorists. Psalm 2. It says, the kings of the earth gather together. They conspire. But God says, I have anointed and have appointed my king. There's nothing you can do. When they are conspiring, he says, he will laugh. Then after he finished laughing, he will terrorize them. When he finished with Egypt, where there was only one person who was left terrorized, and it was Pharaoh. Father, we bless you. Let's just give him praise and glory. Just give him praise and glory. Give him praise and glory. Just worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Just worship him. Worship him. Father, we bless you that we belong to this covenant. We bless you. We bless you and bless you and bless you. Hallelujah. What I don't know is whether you have turned. Have you turned like Moses turned? He had all kinds of things going on inside him to keep him busy inside. You see, you have to turn from those things. It's not something that just happens. Moses said, I will now turn and see. I will now turn and see. And when he turned, God began to speak. Glory be to God. Let me tell you another story of a man who had turned his life towards God. Actually, the word that I really want you to take away is the word tuned. Just remove the R and we'll get to where we want to be. Because you see, God is like radio frequency. You can tune into his frequency, and I'll tell you the number in a moment. God has a frequency. There are two. Okay? Right? You know his frequency. You don't. What about you? Jeremiah. Okay? Right? Jeremiah 3:33. God has got a frequency. You can tune into it. You tune into it, you will be hearing clearly. What happens when your radio is not tuned into a frequency? You can hear. In Job 33, it says, for God speaks. He said, he didn't say, for God spoke. Speaks. Heaven is constantly speaking. You read Revelation, there is never a moment in heaven when they are silent, except when God is about to judge the earth. For God does speaks. Different ways he speaks. He's constantly speaking. Constantly speaking. Like the radio. If you tune into it, you'll be hearing. You'll be hearing. You're hearing. You're hearing. You're hearing instructions. You're hearing direction. You're knowing what heaven wants to do. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. As this friend of ours is a pastor, one day he woke up. He was going to go and see his friend. And up to that point, he's been praying for provision. And he's been to all kinds of interviews. On this particular day, he wasn't going for an interview. He had not even applied. He was just going to see a friend. And God says to him, take your CV with you. And he thinks, I am not going to apply. I'm not going for a job. I'm not going for anything. I'm just going to see a friend. So he takes his CV with him because he has learned. He has learned to be submitted to God. When he got into the building that he was going, where his friend is, as he was stepping into the building, a man met him. And the man said, oh, you have come for the interview. And he said, he's thinking, I have not come for the interview. Before he could speak, he says, can I, they told us you'll be bringing your CV. Can I have your CV? he was still kind of trying to process it in his head. They said, come and sit down. He interviewed for the job. He didn't apply for it. Interviewed for the job. It was the job of a finance director for a multinational company that processes palm oil in Ghana. It's owned by a Belgian man. He's now just been promoted to go and head the company as managing director in Nigeria. He was tuned to heaven. He was tuned. He was on the frequency of heaven. On that day, God simply said, take your CV with you. Well, there is another frequency that tries to come in. You know where it comes from? In the head. You are not going for a job. Why do you need your CV? How many of you have had that experience before? Which one did you follow? Confess your sins. Many people follow their head. It doesn't make sense. Instead of following the voice, your secret in God is to know how to follow the voice of the Father. You know how to follow it. But first you must die to yourself. It's a covenant with you. Jesus obtained it. I know many of us realize that we are saved. But we don't realize actually the greatest reason that God saved us was to release the Holy Spirit upon us. When he come, he will lead you. He'll guide you. Into what? All truth about what? All truth about what? All truth about himself. Yes, anybody? All truth about what? About life. Actually, you don't realize that it can lead you and guide you into all truth about food. Into all truth about clothes. Who told you that is excluded from the covenant? Into all truth about making your journey. Into all truth. Everything is governed by a truth. But you see, people like to separate the spiritual from the natural. Which one is it that God did not create? Let me just digress and give you something that is important. For you to understand that God does not separate and distinguish like we do. It's only realms that we function in. The ground, these things over here, this wall, they can hear us. Oh, people didn't understand that one. Am I making sense to you? They have ears to hear. That's why when the blood of Abel was shed, the ground complained to God.